AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello and welcome to the Carolina Panthers Football In My Mind podcast. I'm your host, Luke Farber, and what's in my mind today? Well, I got my first ever guest on the show. This is my dad, the guy I talk most with football about. Too bad he's a 49ers fan, but we'll hear all about that today. Welcome. Dad, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Well, hello there. I'm Luke's dad. There's no doubt about that. My name's Phil. And I am a 49er fan that bred. And here I am today in Santa Rosa, which is about an hour north of San Francisco and about 2 hours north of Levi's Stadium. I can feel it all the way up here, though. I can feel it. Even though, you know, I've got misgivings about what's going on with my club right now.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I'm here to answer your questions, to enlighten you on all things 49ers that I may know about.
Well, welcome. We look forward to it. Levi's Stadium, that's a far cry from Candlestick in the old days, huh?
Going back further, Kezar. You know, I did a little research here.
Okay.
I was going to be on this podcast. And so the 49ers were founded in 46, believe it or not, 1946.
So not 1846. Oh, okay.
Of the All-American Football Conference. Well, and then 3 years later, they were accepted to the NFL. They're the 10th oldest franchise in the NFL. And that started in 49 in Kezar Stadium, which was where I attended my first 49ers game.
Okay.
You see, my dad was born in San Francisco, native San Francisco, and he was a 49er fan to the bone. And I remember when I was a kid, and he would be in the living room in his easy chair in front of the TV. And mind you, these were the days before there was instant replay, before there was color television.
Mm.
So they would broadcast the games in real time. And honestly, as a kid, I'd watch my dad, and he would be smoking, and the light would be shining through the windows, smoke would be billowing up through the air, and I was watching him, and every now and then he'd get excited, and he'd jump down up and yelling like a wild man. I looked at the screen, and there were too many people on there. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I mean, 22 players on the field. So anyhow, it wasn't until later, probably in the 70s, early 70s, when I really started watching with my father-in-law, Bill Brannigan,
mm-hmm.
Who was another native San Franciscan, Irishman.
Yes.
He loved the 49ers, and so we would watch it. But by then, there was color TV. There was instant replay.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, well, the game began to mean more to me. I understood it more. And even as a kid, I loved going to my high school Woodside Wildcats football games, where in my freshman year, they were undefeated.
Oh.
And quarterback was Don Bunch, who went on to play for Stanford, won the Rose Bowl with Stanford.
Very cool.
So that's my intro to football. I loved the high school football. And it's right about then I went to the first game at Kezar, which was a wild place. I mean, you know.
Where was Kezar?
Kezar is right at the end of Haight Street, right by the entrance to Golden Gate Park at the end of Haight Street.
Does it still exist? Is the stadium still there? Yeah, I have been there then. Yeah, I remember it.
We still have high school games there.
Mm.
I don't know if they have any special events other than that. But, that was old Kezar Stadium. I went there once.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I became then, even though 49ers were my team, like I said, my dad would bring home every year they had the picture of the team, you know, the team photo.
Yeah, I remember those.
that was in the days of Y.A. Tittle.
Okay.
Quarterback.
Yeah, before my time.
Almost before my time.
Okay.
It was very interesting because in those days, the football players didn't make any money.
Mm.
And Y.A. Tittle lived around us in our neighborhood. And during the off season, he would go door to door selling insurance, which is kind of funny because now you watch an NFL game, almost all the commercials are insurance companies, you know. I'm not a big fan of the insurance companies. Anyhow, but Y.A. Tittle would make money by selling insurance in the neighborhood that he lived in. And so then he got traded. He went to the New York Giants, where I think they won a championship. Okay. Then John Brody came along. John Brody, surprised he hasn't been in the Hall of Fame, but he was another great quarterback. And then there were the dry years until the 80s. And that was really when everything busted loose for the Niners, and Bill Walsh came. Then they had great drafts and picked up free agents way before there was a salary cap. And those were the glory years. So
yes, they were.
Let me read you a few things about my team. Okay. Five Super Bowl championships between 81 and 94.
Mm-hmm.
Hall of Famers, Joe Montana. He's my guy. He's got to be my favorite. It's hard to pick a favorite. Then you've got Jerry Rice.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Ronnie Lott, Steve Young, Charles Haley,
mm-hmm.
Dean, Bill Walsh, George Seifert, who Panther fans might remember.
Yeah, well, they might forget him too, you know.
Yeah, he didn't do that well.
No.
Lucky that he inherited that team and that organization from Bill Walsh.
Yeah.
He won a Super Bowl, and then they, a few years later, 95, I think they won another one. But here, listen to this. The 49ers sit alone in NFL history for the most playoff wins. 38.
Really?
38 playoff wins.
Hmm.
They've been in the league playoffs 30 times.
Okay.
They've also played the most NFC championship games, 19.
All right.
Seen 11 of them. That's an NFC record. The team has set numerous notable NFL records. Most consecutive away games won. Most points scored in a single postseason. Most consecutive seasons leading to the league in scoring, 4.
Oh, wow.
Most consecutive games. Let me see. Most consecutive games scored, 420 games. Most consecutive games scored. I don't know what that means.
Well, you didn't get shut out for a while there.
Yeah. We did, yeah. Well, you know, so there's a glorious, glorious history with the team, as you well know.
Yes.
And so, as I recall, Luke,
mm-hmm.
back in, 2019?
Yeah.
Oh, but here's another stat for you before I go there, because that's not going to be pleasant. The Panthers have a winning record against the 49ers through their history.
That doesn't surprise me, actually.
They are 13-9.
Okay.
6-5 at home, 7-4 on the road against the Niners. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of those came during the Niners' down years, which were horrible. But then there was a game, October 27, 2019, the Panthers at Levi's Stadium.
Yes, yes. I remember it well.
Just a second. You might recall Carolina coming in there, and unfortunately, Cam was out. He was out. So Kyle Allen started.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Allen started. Well, he didn't have the greatest game.
No.
The final score was 51-13.
Ugh.
Nick Bosa had 3 sacks and an interception. Tevin Coleman scored 4 touchdowns.
Who?
Tevin Coleman.
Oh, Tevin Coleman. Yeah, no, I remember. He was in a Falcon there. Yeah, yeah.
An interception, but his and quarterback rating of 111, which wasn't bad for Jimmy G or for anybody, but, you know, Jimmy G had his ups and downs. I mean, that's a whole other story. But Kyle Allen's quarterback rating was 28.3. However, MCM scored the sole touchdown for the Panthers that day. So that was the bright spot. That was the highlight. A couple of field goals and a long ride home. Long plane flight home, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, believe it or not, it actually wasn't the worst loss, Panthers loss, I've witnessed live. Back when I was a senior in high school, I went to the Coliseum there when the Raiders were still in Oakland, and We lost 52-9. I think it was the last week of the season, and I had my ex-girlfriend screaming in my ear the whole time. We had bought tickets while we were still together and decided it was a good idea to go somehow, you know. So, but yeah, I've witnessed a few ass kickings, but, you know, sometimes you got to take your medicine.
Well, as I recall, we were sitting in that game in the upper deck, and there was a guy behind harassing you the whole time because, of course, you had your Panther things. But that was a bobblehead day. It was National Tight Ends Day. So I still have my George Kittle bobblehead.
Well, that makes plenty of sense. If I were you, I'd have it too.
With George, we pull George out before every game and sit him up on the counter next to the TV. And George is still playing at a high level, and he's one of my favorites, current 49ers.
Yeah, Kittle's been great. Niners have had some good tight ends over the years.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Yeah, Vernon Davis, recent memory, he was incredible.
Well, I feel like the West Coast offense, and maybe I'm wrong here, was kind of an eye opener and what the tight end could do in the NFL. Am I wrong there?
Well, I remember the Raiders back in that same era when, Russ Francis came over from the New England Patriots to the 49ers, and they had a guy named Charlie Young too. This is back in the 80s when they were winning their Super Bowls. And, but the Raiders would use two tight end sets quite often with Dave Casper.
Okay.
Nicknamed the Ghost, and I can't think of the other tight end right now. Chester was his last name, and these guys were fantastic. They could run, they could catch, they could block, and that was Plunkett was the quarterback right then, and that offense worked really well for them. And it wasn't a West Coast, because Al Davis liked to push the ball downfield.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it was more of a pounding run game and play good defense and go for the bomb.
Okay, so, yeah. Yeah, the tight end position has changed a lot, and it's a huge part of the offense these days, obviously. But anyway, that's all good stuff, man. Well, why don't we look back at this past season and kind of look forward into this off season and see what the Niners are doing. So why don't you give me the lowdown on how this last season went and where you guys are?
Well, we'll start off 2024 when the 49ers went through the playoffs and had some very exciting playoff games against the Packers, come from behind, using his legs to move the ball.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Lions. Mm-hmm. Lions had a huge halftime lead. Purdy rallies them back after halftime to win the NFC Championship. They lose a close Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Overtime with the Chiefs. And so that was the end of that season. But it was in 2024. So the 49ers coming off not only a good season, but a good run the last 4 or 5 years where they were very competitive in four championship games, went to two Super Bowls, lost them, which was new for the 49ers. Well, no, they lost one when Harbaugh was the coach, too, Colin Kaepernick. But which I, as a 49er fan, am proud of Colin Kaepernick, because the man stood up for what he believed in, and it hurt him big time.
It did.
Fire the guy for doing that. And he was right. Mm-hmm. He was right. Mm-hmm. To what's happening to black people in this country and the whole George Floyd thing. But I digress there. Yes. But anyhow, let me say the 6-11 2024 season was much less than we had hoped for.
Yeah.
And I think that you can point to several different breakdowns. Too many penalties, too many mistakes, mental mistakes. Special teams suck. Jake Moody let us down. I mean, he just really let us down. The poor guy, he had a high ankle sprain. He never came back from it. And missed all kinds of. There were at least two games where he could have won it, where he didn't. And he barely won the one against the Bucks. He missed three field goals in that game. And then the game winner was just barely inside the right upright. So special teams were bad.
Mm-hmm.
Defense. I mean, there were injuries, sure. Everybody has injuries. But, I mean, you lose Greenlaw, who was Maybe that's why they lost the Super Bowl too. That he went out without Achilles.
And yeah, that was tough.
Plus McCaffrey's fumble inside the red zone on the first possession. But anyhow, and I don't want to start crying. I don't think I have a tissue anywhere near me. But in the defense, I mean, so they got Devondre Campbell. We all know what happened to Devondre Campbell.
He
wouldn't play. And so they didn't have Greenlaw. They had Warner. Warner was playing hurt. Great linebacker. Bosa didn't have the greatest season. And they got a few free agents in on the defensive line. Leonard Floyd really wasn't. He had 8.5 sacks or something, but he really wasn't much of a factor.
Mm-hmm.
And the linebackers weren't that effective. They were all backups except for Fred Warner, who was injured. Then mm-hmm. you had the secondary. They had rookies playing in the secondary. Hufanga was injured. Mm-hmm. And then their second year guy, I can't remember his name right now, who had a good rookie season, just wasn't playing up to the standard he had set the year before.
Yeah.
The defense just was not up to par, mm-hmm. which it had been in the past. And Brock Purdy digressed. Stevie, my wife Stevie says ever since he got married, he hasn't been the same.
Oh, well, you know.
That has anything to do with it.
is she just waiting, you know, was she bummed out that she missed out on Brock Purdy, you know?
No, I think Brock Purdy is probably, you know, like her grandson's.
Yeah, well, you know.
You know, Brock, we all love Brock Purdy here. So he digressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had IU, who had that long holdout.
Yep.
And then he came back and he wasn't playing. He was dropping passes. And then he had that big knee injury. So he was out. Deebo Samuel's playing 20 pounds overweight. Mm. He doesn't have the burst that he had. Juwan Jennings, however, really came through.
He did have some good games. Yeah.
He did. Well, he got thrown out of the last game.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a tenacious blocker.
Mm, yeah.
This is off the secondary. They don't like these big guys coming at them, knocking them on their keister. You know, they don't go for that.
Oh, yeah.
Jennings was doing that, and he got tossed out of the game just like 20 yards short of a 1,000-yard season.
Okay.
So that's something that we look forward to next year, you know, mm-hmm. building on that. So all the way around, their special teams, if I didn't mention that, were terrible.
I mean,
the coverage, and they were giving up long returns, and they couldn't really – did any good returns. And so anyhow, it was a sad season.
So I mean, it sounds to me like, you know, what you're describing is they just weren't doing those little things right. And you know, I think it was a Bill Belichick quote that, you know, more games in the NFL are lost than won, which meaning, you know, all of those mistakes are going to compound and they're going to end up costing you more games than the great plays may win you games.
I think that's true. I remember that quote. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's very good.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I think you guys hired a new defensive coordinator, right?
Yeah, we rehired Robert Saleh.
Oh, Saleh. Yeah, that was the pick. Well, you know, at least there's some familiarity there. It seems like the Shanahan hasn't been quite too happy with the defense for the last couple of years.
No, that's very true. Ever since D'Amico Ryans left and went to the Texans, and look what he's done there. You got to give him a lot of credit.
Yeah, I was actually a bit surprised that he and the Texans out-physicaled Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers, but I think we got to, or at least me as a Panthers fan, not knowing him as a coordinator, you know, take him and his mentality and, you know, kind of that energy that his teams play with a little bit more seriously.
Yeah, the Texans. Yeah, that's Ryan's all right. And then they had, who was the guy they had? He was from the Panthers. Wasn't he like...
Steve Wilks, yeah.
Steve Wilks. And, you know, that was up and down, too. And there was a real tension between him and Shanahan, especially in the playoffs. And there were a couple of times when Shanahan, from what I understand, Shanahan overruled his calls, defensive calls. And then they just weren't happy with who he was running. And then last year they had Sorensen. First-time coordinator.
Okay.
And the defense, I don't think it was all his fault, because if you don't have the players, you know, what are you going to do? Scheme's only going to take you so far.
Yep. Well, yeah, and especially, you know, well, oh, yeah, absolutely. So do you have a new special teams coordinator as well?
That's right. Yeah, and he comes with a good resume.
Okay.
About the guys, I wrote the guy's name down. I really didn't know what his name was. Colt Anderson.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I'm familiar with him either.
Yeah, but he comes with a good resume, so we're hoping. Of course, we got to get a kicker.
Yeah. So Moody is still under contract, I'm guessing. Have you brought in any free agents yet?
Not yet, but they intend to bring some competition into camp. Now he's a third year rookie.
Yeah, and like you said about the high ankle sprain, I didn't realize that he had had the high ankle sprain, and me having had a couple of those to a good degree over the years, you know, can understand how debilitating that could be, especially for a kicker. I mean, I guess it depends a little bit on which leg it is. You know, you wouldn't want it on your plant leg. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that goes out. I know for us, we've had Eddie Pinheiro for the last few years as our kicker, and he's up there with Justin Tucker as one of the most accurate of all time. And we're letting him go. He went to the Titans, I believe. And, you know, I think it's a little short-sighted to just let a good, accurate kicker go, because you're not guaranteed that who you sign is going to pick up the torch and run with it.
I agree with you 100%. And if you take a look at most teams, the kickers score more points than anyone. Mm-hmm. And as a coach, you're making it, you have to make that decision. Am I going to go for it on fourth down? And what play am I going to call on third down? Because can I count on my kicker? Can I rely on him? And we're in the situation, the 49ers in a situation, where you can't answer yes to that question. You can rely on
him. Yeah, well, when you lose a couple of games because of a kicker, you know, you feel a lot, you feel that a lot more. And Carolina's been lucky in our history as a franchise. I mean, our first kicker lasted the first, I think, 19 years of the franchise. So if you got a guy that's going to stick around that long, you know, he's good at his job. But I remember those lean years, and you don't want a guy who you just don't know what's going to happen when he gets out there.
That's right. And prior to Moody, they had Robbie Gould. Robbie Gould never missed a kick in the playoffs. Now, Robbie Gould didn't have the 50-plus yards range, but they knew that. They knew what his range was, what they could count on. Now, talk about Jake Moody's ankle sprain. Got it hurt making a tackle on special teams.
Okay.
Then they brought in another kicker. I don't remember what it was. And he was made all his kicks. He got hurt the first game making a tackle on special teams.
Man.
You don't want your kicker making tackles on special teams, right? So what does that tell you about your special teams?
Yeah. Team? Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. So anyhow, and then they brought in another kicker after the second one got hurt. Didn't miss a kick. Well, Moody said they thought Moody was ready to go. They brought him back in, and he was a big disappointment.
Yeah, that's tough. Well, it sounds like it sounds definitely like you need some more help on special teams, and I know a lot of that help comes from the draft. Especially later, maybe undrafted free agents. Do you guys have a lot of picks this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that there's 10 picks, four in the top 100.
And, okay.
Yeah, but they have not only do we bring in a new special teams coordinator, but we've been signing some safeties and that are essentially standout special teams players.
Yeah.
So as free agents. Now, the 49ers this year in free agencies have lost much more than they've gained. But there's a salary cap. I went right down that we were like $61 million over the cap or under the cap, and so with Brock Purdy, you know, who knows what they're going to pay Brock?
Yeah,
that's going to take a big portion of that. So free agency, we've overspent on free agents in the past. We've got a lot of dead money, so we're not bringing in free agents and hoping we can nail the draft like we did last year. Need help along the defensive line, the offensive line.
Yep.
And so we'll see how it shakes out. I have no idea what Lynch and Shanahan are doing now. They're letting these guys go. They're not very active. Although they signed a tight end, Luke. No, what's his name? Luke Farrell.
Okay.
And Luke Farrell was rated by Pro Football Focus as the second best blocking tight end in the league last year. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they want him for. But another thing they did, you know who Jordan Mason is, a running back for the 49ers? And Mason
just got traded, right?
He got traded for like a 6th-round draft pick to the Vikings. Mm-hmm. Now, that leaves you with McCaffrey, who's pushing 30 years old.
And yep.
McCaffrey's history with his injuries. And here you got a guy whose career average is 5.3 yards per carry.
And he looks great.
You're letting him go, and the guys behind him are pretty much unproven. So, you know, I'm not sure. And he was signed for like 2 years for under $10 million. So I don't know why that would have been prohibitive for the 49ers. So I'm kind of saying, what is going on here? Which a lot of, you know, the local sports writers are saying the same thing.
Well, you know, there has been a mass exodus there, obviously, and that kind of freaks you out, especially when you've had such good success over the last handful of years, and especially after coming off of, you know, a disappointing season. So, yeah, the future seems a little bit more up in the air these days than it had been over the last few off seasons.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I think when they let Hufanga walk,
mm-hmm.
they let Greenlaw walk. You know, these are guys who've had significant injury histories.
Yeah.
You know, are they going to sign them to a premier contract with that big question mark? You know, how are they going to be coming back from that? So I can understand that. And they need to get younger. The 49ers had the oldest roster in the NFL last year. So.
Yeah. It just sounds like they're probably should be, and there is being a changing of the guard here in a bit.
Yeah.
Now, are they going to try and extend Brock Purdy this offseason, do you know?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they don't, the last 2 years, 3 years, yeah, Debo Samuel hold out till, it might have been training camp.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't hold out till the week before the season.
Yep.
And Ayuk do the same thing last year. So I think that the goal is to get him signed, get him in there for training camp, and don't have these holdouts. Although interesting, who they signed for.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny, actually.
Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, well, you know, I thought it was a little premature for them to kind of ship Trey Lance out of the building so quickly, honestly. But, you know, sometimes they do those sorts of things for locker room dynamics, and who knows what it was. I mean, it didn't seem like a problem from the outside. But, you know, a lot of these young guys, they just aren't quite ready. And Purdy obviously was, but Lance and Jones haven't been. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see him as a backup under Shanahan, especially after seeing the last couple of years and seeing Darnold go from the backup to the starter in Minnesota and have a Pro Bowl year. So the quarterbacks are... Shanahan seems to be a bit of a whisperer. So, yeah, we'll see what he can do with that new backup this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see in the preseason. I'll see how he plays. And, who knows? You know, you hope you don't have to go to your backup, right? You hope.
Yeah.
If you do, and you've got a good team around him, you want somebody who can just do what it takes to distribute the ball. And which is an interesting thing. I think you and I talked about this on the phone recently, that Darnold credited Purdy.
Okay.
He didn't mention Shanahan, which is interesting, but he mentioned Purdy, and what he said about Purdy was Purdy's whole philosophy is that he's a point guard,
mm-hmm.
and his responsibility is to distribute the ball and not let the playmakers do their thing. And you know, the 49ers have been known for the yards after catch, and they've had the guys to do it. I mean, Debo and Kittle. Even Ayuk, but he's not a powerful guy, but Jennings, definitely.
Well, I mean, you look at your guy, Joe Montana, and then you look at a guy like Tom Brady. I mean, what did they do besides sit back there and play point guard? I mean, they weren't, you know, Joe was more of an athlete than Tom was, obviously. But, you know, neither guy had the strongest arm or the fastest legs or anything like this, but they knew football, they knew how to read a defense, and they could get the ball to the open guy with tremendous accuracy.
Yeah, and that's so key, the accuracy, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know a little 49ers history yourself there, don't you?
A little bit. You know, I grew up in the 80s, so, you know, yeah, I remember plenty of Niners stuffs. You know, Ronnie Lott was one of my favorites, so like you mentioned earlier, and Tom Rathman. I like those tough guys, you know.
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And he was coaching for the night. Wasn't he the running backs coach for the Niners?
Yeah, he was. That was before Shanahan came on board.
Mm, okay.
And Shanahan brought in his own guy, which is Bobby Turner, which Bobby Turner has been around. He coached running backs for Mike Shanahan.
Okay.
Tremendous success. The guy's ancient, but he's still on the sideline and out on the, you know, and coaching year after year.
Hey, you know your stuff, you know, why would age matter, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Well, it's been great having you on the podcast, Dad. This has been fun. Talk a little off-season football, a little Niners. You got any closing thoughts for us?
I didn't quite catch that last one.
No, I was just wondering if you had any closing thoughts, you know.
You know, I'll tell you, I think that that we'll be lucky to be a 500 team this year.
Okay.
You know, Rams look pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the Cardinals. The Cardinals might be coming on. They've got a good backup quarterback now. They've got some good wide receivers, and they signed Josh Sweat, I know, for
yep.
The D-line. And it'll be interesting to see what Darnold does in Seattle. But, you know, a few years back they were saying the NFC West is the toughest division in football. Well, that kind of went by the wayside. But I think it's resurging a little bit. And I think it'll be interesting to see. I always like seeing guys like Darnold who were with my team
mm-hmm.
and go on and see it. And so I hope he does well, except when they play us.
Right? Yeah, no, I was a Darnold fan as well and definitely wish him all the success, definitely.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's about it. I enjoy talking football with you, Lou. Enjoy your podcast, and thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Thank you, Phil Farber, Bigfoot football man. We'll catch you next time.